on the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. This is part three. You can go on the podcast at dennisadams.podbean.com, and you can listen to the first one, the second one, and now the third one will be up tomorrow. It is being recorded on Facebook Live. But this particular part of the scripture in verse 10 is what we're going to focus on today. Verse 10 on the disciples' prayer or the model prayer. It's very simple. I just want to read the whole prayer to us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the verse we'll be sticking to today. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's a great prayer. As you know, I've mentioned this to you several times. I pray it every day. So I want to spend time with you now in this particular part of the scripture, which is so cool. It's your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's so important that we see that. And then we're going to talk just a little bit about give us this day our daily bread. But I really want to focus on three words here. Kingdom, will, and earth. God's kingdom is something that we are waiting for. Now, I've done intensive studies on the kingdom of God. Several authors. Most people, and maybe you're here and it's okay, don't understand what the kingdom of God is. Right now, we sort of live in the presence of a droplet full of what Jesus gave. He came on this earth and brought a little bit of the kingdom with him. How to live, how to pray, how to love, how to forgive. He brought this into our life, but it's not the fullness of the kingdom of God. You see, right now we have more of the kingdom of heaven that we think about. But in the last moments when everything is going to be changed, now listen to me, please. The kingdom of God is going to come down and it's going to take over and surround and swallow up the kingdom of heaven. And there'll be nothing but the kingdom of God, the glorious kingdom that God has sent Jesus to show us, first to the Jew, but the Jew rejected God. The Israelite rejected God in their response by building precept upon precept or law upon law that men made up to make themselves look good. So God sent Jesus also to reach us, the Gentile. Now, literally, if you stop to think what I just said, and I'm going to preach in a moment, I believe, is that if the Jew or Israelite would not have rejected God, we wouldn't have been part of this kingdom that I'm talking about. Because of their rejecting God, God came to us, and a people that knew him not became part of the family. We've been grafted on. The book of Romans tells us that we've been grafted on to the tree of Israel. I'm just making this in simple terms. Grafted on. And a graft is stronger than the actual growth of a tree. When you graft it on, it's stronger. The joint is stronger. The weld is stronger than the actual metal that it's welded to. So our relationship with God has been brought to us by the shed blood of Jesus, who came on this earth to show a little bit or a light towards or some examples of the kingdom of God. You see, the Bible talks about it, this, that when we join Jesus and lay our crowns down before the Father, the kingdom of God will then come and we will all worship God together when we're in heaven. So when he's saying here, when we're saying here, when we're praying this, your kingdom come, we are saying to God, we really are anxious for this. We're really looking forward to the kingdom. Because right now, if you walk outside these doors, there's no kingdom of God outside this door. There's crime. There's fear. There's poverty. There's sickness. There's death. A list of other heinous things go on in our society today that certainly do not represent the kingdom of God. So what we're saying is, your kingdom come. We really want this kingdom to come. And we know that in our heart today, if you are a Christian, in your heart, God is reigning. His kingdom is reigning in your heart. You have a droplet of God's kingdom within your heart. There is a freedom. You see, when we get to heaven, we will dance when we sing. We will shout when we sing. I always love our songs because, you know, I will shout, I will dance, and we stand there and we don't shout. You know what I mean? We're saying things we don't do because we're worried about what other people are going to think. But in heaven, we don't have to worry about what other people are going to think, because if we're not doing it, they're going to think, what's wrong with you? Amen. Because we're going to be in God's kingdom. We're hungry for that. We're looking forward to that. It's something that I use the word anxious, but it's a pure anxious. It's like we're looking for something, like, let's just say if you were a young girl and you were about to be wed to the man of your dreams, or vice versa, you're a young man and you're about to be wed to the woman of your dreams, and it's the next day, you are like so happy. You are looking so forward to this. This is a beautiful thing you've been looking for all your life. It's wonderful. It's a gift from God. And so what we understand today is God's kingdom in our life is a gift to us. It's a coming gift. We're kind of walking in a filthy, dirty earth right now, but we are representing God's love and his mercy. In other words, God's mercy means that God is actually bowing down. Every time you see the word mercy, you're finding where Jesus is actually, or God is bowing down to help someone. When the blind man was crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him to me." And he ran to Jesus. Jesus stopped and bowed down. His greatness, his power, his love, his purity bowed down to a blind sinner who needed help. And that's what God wants to do for our lives. He wants to show us mercy every day. Amen. He wants to show us who we are in him, not who he is in us. He knows who he is. We're still learning who we are. We're still trying to mature into what he has promised us to be. But yes, sometimes that ugly past wants to creep up on us like a ghost or a scary monster and just start to dig into our mind and cause us to fear and to doubt. Let me tell you something. God is your sure foundation, and he will not allow you to be shaken. He will only allow you to be victorious. Amen. There is victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your kingdom come. Really, it's like you're saying, please, God, this is so difficult to be on this earth just not knowing that your fullness of your kingdom is yet to come, and I'm seeing such treachery around me. I've got family that's going through stuff, and I just know that they need the Lord, and I don't know how to approach them. There are things going on in my employment that I just don't understand. We're living in a society today that every time you read the news, somebody is being accused of sexual assault. Rightfully so, that's coming out into the open, where people can stop doing that to individuals, to women, to men. whatever it may be. It's not God's kingdom when we read the news. It's the kingdom of hell. It's the kingdom of sin. It's the kingdom of rebellion. It's the kingdom of disobedience. And we don't quite understand it, and we try to make it different by being part of it. You don't have to be part of that. You are part of God's family, and it's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is about Him raising on the third day and setting us free from the sins of this world. We are victorious in Christ. We are the sons and daughters of God. Romans in chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, we are the sons and daughters. We have been brought in by the spirit of adoption, not by the spirit of fear, whereby we can cry out, Abba, Father. And every day the Spirit of the Lord reminds us in our heart, if you listen closely with the sounds and the clanging and the noise of this world, sometimes it's not heard like it should be, but it's being spoken every morning. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are a child of the living God.
Amen.
Praise God. That silences the enemy. That keeps his voice quiet. Let me tell you something. God has given you all things. God has given you healing. He's given you love. He has given you deliverance. He's given you empowerment of His Holy Spirit. He has prospered you. He has given you fullness of life. He has given you a future that no man can take from you at all. No man can take that. Because it's a gift from God. Kind of reminds me of Christmases that all of us have had, where when we were children and you get your gift and open it up, and then your older sister or your older brother would come and rip it out of your hands and steal it and start playing with it. And you'd cry and cry and cry, but mom and dad weren't around. They were over in the corner arguing, or they were over there doing something. They were having a beer, I don't know, drinking wine, whatever it may be. Or if there was a Christian home, they were over there maybe just, you know, looking at their own presents, and they were busy, whatever it may be. I'm just trying to bring in the whole of the world, secular and Christian, and saying, you know, and somebody steals your toy and you're crying and no one's helping. Let me tell you something. When the enemy comes into your life, all you do is have to cry out, God, help me.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, there are angels there even before you get the me after the help.
Yes.
They're there. And that angel is surrounding you. The Bible says that he is a shield about me. And the lifter of my head. He's a bulwark that faileth not.
Amen.
He is the peace that surpasses all understanding. And he is the joy what I contain in my heart. He is that joy.
Amen.
You know, there's an old statement that it's found in the Word. And in Peter's writing, he said, the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking to whom he may devour. But I have something to tell you. All he can do is roar. He has no teeth because he lost his teeth on the third day when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We have to understand that when we want God's kingdom, we are asking for His fullness to come. We need everything that you have, God. We need every moment of every promise, everything, God. We want this in our life. We want this to be in our life, individually and corporately. It would be beautiful that in your family everyone was saved. What a beauty that would be. Now, I've lost people in my family that were erroneous sinners. Mean and cruel murderers. I have lost them. And my prayer has always been, God, at the last moment, maybe they ask for forgiveness. Maybe. But my cry is that everybody that I come in contact with, that's why I talk to people about Jesus so much. Because I want God's kingdom to come into their life. Because I see pain that they're in, the confusion that they're in, the hurt that they carry with them, the indecisiveness of understanding who they really are and what their identity is in a world that steals identity. I mean, we're living in a world where you don't even know whether or not you're the right culture or not. Because people want to make fun of your culture. How silly is that? The devil has all sorts of ways of trying to divide people. And he has great avenues of ways of getting into our hearts and trying to divide us from God. This is why this prayer is so important. Are you with me or should I stop? This prayer is so important to our life. God, your kingdom come. I don't want anybody else's kingdom. I don't want my kingdom. Do you know that I pray a prayer, and I've never told you this, but I pray a prayer also that says, God, I want you to come into my heart and dethrone all my kingdoms and to sit on the throne of my heart. You know that, y'all don't want to talk about the little kingdoms that you have set up. Humans have little kingdoms in their heart. You know, I don't want God to mess with this. This is my kingdom, my time. No, you know, your time is, when you gave your heart to God, your time became God's time. And everybody out there that you know, that you see, tell them about the love of God, about the empowerment of God, the stability of God and the sustainability of God. How he can sustain us. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 103, forget not all the benefits that he lays on us daily. I tell you right now, I like the word benefit because it's like benna and you're going to have a fit. It's so good. I'm telling you, it's good to know who God is. So let his kingdom come into your life. Say, God, here I am. I'm praying this because this is what I want more than anything in this earth. And then let's move on. It says, your will be done. This is where our battle is. Will in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and in the Greek simply means this, choice. Lord, let your choice be done in my life. What you choose. And we're constantly always asking God for things that God doesn't want for us. We need to understand who we are in God. And just because somebody over there got that blessing doesn't mean you're going to get that blessing. Because God has something just as powerful for you. He wants you to accept who you are in him and stop trying to be like somebody else because they got more. Come on now. It's better to be at peace with who you are than to be feeling like you need to be like them. Know who God has created you to be, what your destiny is. In other words, your will, God, in my life. That's what I want. Your choice, not mine anymore. Because I've made some... Have you ever made a bad choice? I think I could write a whole library on bad choices. My own personal life, where I've made choices I should not have made. Done things I should not have done. Said things out of this mouth that I should never have said. And you know what? God's really got a sense of humor. He never put a fishing line on your words. So when all of a sudden they're out there, you begin to reel them back in. When they're out there, guess what? They are out there. So we need to ask God, God, come on into my life. Make sure that I speak the right things. Make sure that I live the right life. I am willing, Father, for you to sit on the throne of my life. I am willing, God, for you to order my steps, as the Bible says. And I am willing to believe in you, of who you are, and you know best of what I need. How many is a parent in here? Okay, now when you see your child doing what they shouldn't do, this is what, you don't sit over there and say, that's what they're choosing to do, whatever. That's all right, there's a car coming. You know, we're at a place in Santa Cruz one day and with a couple, a friend of mine. And their little boy was with us. And we were getting ice cream. You know, and the daddy was always kind of into the ice cream a lot. And the mama was there. And Kathy and I were there. And all of a sudden, that little boy is on right there in Santa Cruz in the first lane of one of the busiest lanes or streets in Santa Cruz. And all of a sudden you hear, "Mama, speak out the boy's, the man's name, and speak out the boy's name. Go get him." And instead of him running out to get him, he turns to his wife and says, "Don't you say I'm talking." Now, hear what I'm trying to get across to you. Sometimes we put ourselves more important than the danger that's about to happen. We need to respond to God when He brings into our life something that all of a sudden something's happening. We need to respond, "God, what do I do?" Amen. Not, "Wait a minute, God, I can handle this." You see, God sees the semi coming. We see only what we want to see. God sees what your tomorrow is going to be like. He's prepared you for that day already. What He wants you to do is say, "God, whatever you choose is what I'm going to do tomorrow. What you're choosing in my life, that's what I want." You know, sometimes I love pastoring. I love preaching. I love praying. But there are some times that I'd like to be doing something else. Because I'm a human being. Sometimes I wake up on Sunday morning thinking, "How do I stay in bed?" Sometimes I've got to go to prayer and I want to say, "Maybe I can do this after I finish watching that great TV drama that I'm watching." Sometimes when I'm fasting, which I fast all the time, my wife will tell you that, I think, "Man, I would love to have that big old chocolate fantasy ice cream cone from Clancy's over there in San Leandro. Or I'd love to have that big carnita burrito. I just dream of carnitas sometimes. I don't eat them because I got to stay healthy, but oh, how I love carnitas. But I'd say, oh no, but I choose fasting because there's empowerment in fasting." Sometimes I just don't want to come up here and preach, believe it or not. Most people realize how much I love preaching. I figure if I practice enough, I'll probably get good at it someday. But literally, sometimes I just want to reach over and say, "Hey, Gami, I'm not ready this morning. I'm tired. Stayed up all night, watched the dramas, forgot to pray. You know. Hey, Will, come on up here. Get this thing going. You know, hey, you know, somebody, you know, hey, Kathy, come on, do this. Come on. I'm just going to sit down and act like I'm holy." Are you with me? Do you mind this honesty? You know, we are all human beings, and this is why we have to pray every day. "Your will be done." And then there's moments when somebody else is preaching, and I'm sitting down in that chair thinking, "God, I could have done a whole lot better." And then I slap my ego down. Amen. You shouldn't have amen that. You know, I'm just joking. And it's just like, you know, and sometimes I just don't want to go back to eating when I'm fasting. I mean, we're going out to dinner, and my wife says, "What time are we going?" I says, "I'm fasting today," so she knows we're not going out till after 6 o'clock. You know, that we, you know, that whole thing, you know, and sometimes that I want to be at church so rapidly I get behind cars and I'm thinking, "Why is that car in front of me? I want to get there. I want to see the people I love and pray with them and praise with them and give them the word of God and minister to them." You see, what I'm saying is we have a choice every day. Don't go about how we feel. Go by what God says to do.
Amen.
His will. His will. You know, I don't make any apology for being honest. I mean, I think preachers need to be a little bit more honest. Instead of walking around like they are so holy that when they are about to step in the next ground, angels brush off the ground before them. I'm going to tell you something. We need to remind ourselves. Are you with me? Are you there? We need to remind ourselves that it's God's choice, not ours. We have a choice after we remind that of ourselves to whether we're going to take God's choice or we're going to do our choice. There's no greater conviction in my life, a man of prayer, no greater conviction in my life when the Holy Spirit says, I need you to pray right now. And then I go, I'll pray in a little bit. I'm going to pray. You know that. But I want to just go ahead and finish this one TV show. Does that happen? Yeah, it happens. Do I pray? Yes. Last night I was about to go to bed. It was about 12:30. So I'm done with everything. And just relaxed. Kathy was asleep. The dogs were asleep. It was funny last night because the dogs told Kathy it was time to go to bed. They had jumped all over her, and so they ran down the hallway. And I said, wow, they're telling you to go to bed. He said, yeah, they're tired, and so am I. But I'm out there, and let me tell you something. I got through cooking. I got through doing everything. I had cleaned the kitchen, set out the mouse traps for the mice that we have up in Boulder Creek. I got about 10 of them so far, but they're there. You know, I did all that I do. And I was just about to pick up and go on Netflix. And the Holy Spirit said, nope, not tonight. I need you to pray because tomorrow I want to anoint you in a unique way. And I said, okay. But inside I was going, I want to finish those last three binge dramas I'm watching. And I said, nope. And I didn't turn the TV on. I went and got a glass of ice water, sat down, and just started praying and finally finished around 2:00 in the morning. Calling out each and one of your names. Asking God to bring joy into your life. Blessing your children. Blessing this church. Calling out my family. Calling out for the family that we prayed for today. Just asking God to save every one of my neighbors. I'm radical. I'll save them all. You know, get everybody saved. I want everybody saved. Praying in the Holy Spirit. And so there are times where you just have to fight God's choice for your life. It sounds easy to say, well, boy, if God tells me to do it, I'm going to jump all over it. There's times you have to fight for that choice. Who do you fight? Not your wife, not your husband, not your best friend, not your crying baby, not your oldest teenager, none of that stuff. Not your brother, not your sister. You fight yourself. The war is in you to let God's will be done.
That's right.
So then we'll move on earth as it is in heaven. You can look at it two ways. The earth that we walk around, the earth that we view every day, we smell every day, we work on every day, we live on every day, we enjoy every day. We are sad in sometimes. We are glad in sometimes. An earth that God has given us to live on, that His Son came on this cursed earth and walked on the cursed streets to defeat sin, and that all man and creation would be saved if they would call upon His name. Or we can look at the earth as we are earth. For dust you came from, and dust you shall return. You see, when Adam was created, God grabbed a handful of dirt. There's a message there. I don't have time to preach that with this one. He grabbed a handful of dirt, and He created Adam. And out of Adam, He created the woman out of his side. So that dirt, God reached into the side of the dirt and made a woman who was made from dirt also. Don't want to offend any women there when I said that, but I'm serious now, you know. It's how it is. So we can say here now, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth here in me. as it is in heaven. In other words, I want me to act like I'm already there in heaven with you. I want to find the joy of my salvation every moment of every day. Amen. Now, if you're real to yourself, and that's why I've been very open this morning, is that there are days where you just don't feel like that at all. You feel picked on, manipulated, remanufactured, pressed down, shaken together, but you were never made to run over anymore. Squeezed by this world that you feel like you're choking every day and the breath is hard to even take. Words sometimes are just unable to declare how you really feel when someone says, "How you doing?" Or we tend to lie at this one, okay? In the heart there is murders and adulteries and lies and so on. When someone says, "How you doing today?" And you go, "I'm doing great. I'm feeling so good. If I could bottle it and sell it, I'd be a millionaire." But inside, you don't have that smile. Inside you have this look like, "I'm a mess. God's forgotten me. I've sinned somewhere along the line that I'm sure he's reminded of all the time. I failed God. My wife and I had a fight today, and I'm not going to say I'm sorry." Or vice versa. "My kid has embarrassed me. My child's embarrassed me. My teenager's embarrassed me. I just don't know what to do. My bank account is getting so low that I've got to look up from up underneath it to see if there's anything there. I'm just going through trouble. I have bad relationships. I have everything's going wrong." And that's what you want to cry out. But because of how the Christian world has become in judgmentalism and criticism and sarcasm, that when we do say what we're really like, we are afraid we are going to be judged, talked about, and made to feel outside the group. Let me tell you something. You know what the group I belong to is? The Jesus group. Amen. So you're not going to get me or my wife outside the group because we're not in the group. I'm into the Jesus group. I'm inviting you into the Jesus group. I'm letting you know that you need to be real, open, honest, and let God take care of what he's going to take care of, because he has got your back.
Amen.
He's got you covered.
Yes.
So that's what I want, is that kingdom to come.
Amen.
In my life, in my wife's life, in my grandchildren's life. Amen. We're going to go see two of our grandkids today in my closing. I'll cover the give us this day next week. And go two beautiful little babies. And go hold them today. I've already dedicated one of them. Because when I hold all my grandkids, I dedicate them immediately. I don't need an audience. Don't need to do it at an altar. I dedicate them. One of my daughter-in-law said, now, they're Roman Catholic. They will have them baptized in the Catholic Church. We will be invited to go to that. And I understand the baptism in the Catholic Church 100%, being that I was baptized in the Catholic Church. But she says to me, "Dad, I'm looking for a date right now, and I want to give you a date so we can come over to the church at Hope for the Bay and dedicate our child." You see, we are so tunnel vision on some things. We have to open up our minds and know people want their children dedicated to God. I'm so honored. Two brand new little cuddly babies. They can't talk yet, but I'm sure they're learning. And let me leave you with that thought. Some of you are so young in the Lord, you can't talk yet. But watch. Learn from those that are really Christians. Not those that are make-believe Christians. But those that really live for God, watch their life. I felt that. Watch their life. Understand their attitudes and understand what they're saying. Listen and hear the voice of God within their voice. And watch God change your life to the better. Pastor, when is the battle going to be over? I know you were thinking that. It may never be over till the day you're taken to heaven. But I want you to know something. You're not fighting the battle. Jesus is. Amen. Jesus is fighting your battle. I feel like I'm fighting. That's because you're not putting your hope in the right place. Hope in God. Amen. Believe in God. Trust in God. Let him fight for you. Matter of fact, he's already won because he saw the end. He's just trying to make your character better. Amen. Teaching you to trust. Teaching you to understand that right now we're waiting on the kingdom of God. We're living in a kingdom on this earth. But the kingdom of heaven is what we look for. And the kingdom of heaven is what we rejoice about. But the kingdom of God is going to just explode and cover all the earth. The whole universe. Everything. And guess what? When you go home today, I want you to look in the mirror and say, I know of something that maybe other people don't know, but I've been invited to be part of the kingdom of God. And I've taken that invitation and I'm putting it in my heart and I can't wait to get there. Father, I thank you today. Lord God, it's your kingdom. It's your choice. And we want it to be seen on this earth. We pray for it. We want it to be seen in our own lives. We pray for that. And God, I just ask you today that you will bless everybody by the sound of my voice, that you will bring into their life a sense, a depth of understanding, a knowledge that yet is unreachable, but yet known into their minds. That what you have planned from the very moment you called light out of darkness, when you spun the stars off your fingertips and the planets and named them all, when you reached into dirt and Adam was born and Eve followed soon thereafter. My God, you separated the firmament from the earth. Father God, you did it all. You had a plan for us then, and you have a plan for us now. The enemy interrupted your plan, but your plan for us to be with you has never been interrupted. You made a way through your Son, Jesus Christ. And through him, we have all things. Through him, we have victory in everything. Through him, we can enter into the throne room of grace to receive mercy and to receive help in our time of need. And I thank you for all things in Jesus' name.